Manx Radio Sport.
Minutes past five here on your nation station, Manx Radio AM, and this is Classified. Thank you for joining us. Lots to bring you over the next hour here on Full Classifieds. We're going to have a look at everything that has took place in the local football. As well as that, we're going to have Dave Christian on. He's going to talk about the one rugby game that took place here on Ireland. We'll have Rob Pritchard with team news from FC Alamance game against Longridge Town. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff at the Bowl. Not forgetting, we'll have all the latest hockey results as well to bring you here that have took place on the Isle of Man. But first, as always, we'll begin with the classifieds. And we are going to start in football and the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Corinthians 5, Ayr United 1, Union Mills 4, Ramsey 4, Braddon 2, St Mary's 5. Foxdale against St John's, match postponed. Peel 2, Onchan 0. Douglas High School and Old Boys against Laxey, match postponed. Arden and Druggan Division 2. Malou against Paul Rose, match postponed. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4, St George's 2. Douglas and District 7, Governors Athletic 0. Douglas Royal against Moran, awaiting result. Canada Life Combination 1, Ayr United 2, Corinthians 10. Ramsey against Union Mills, match postponed. St Mary's 3, Braddon 2. St John's United against Foxdale, match postponed. Onchan 3, Peel 2. Laxey 5, Douglas High School and Old Boys 1. Arden and Druggan Combination 2. Castletown 2. Jims 1. Paul Rose United 7. Malou 1. St George's against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. This game did not take place, so match postponed. Douglas Athletic 13. Governors Athletic 0. Moran 9. Douglas and District 0. And Michael United 5, Douglas Royal 4. In rugby, in the Cheshire Bowl semi-final, Ramsey 43, Southern Nomads 26. In hockey, in the Mixed Premier League, Backers A 6, Vikings A 1. Backers B 1, Harlequins A 2. Castletown Celts 9, Castletown Southerners 1. Valkyries A 3, Vikings B 2. In Mixed Division 1, Valkyries C 3, Harlequins B 4. Valkyries B 2, Ramsey A 2. Backers C 12, Vikings C 0. In Mixed Division 2, Backers Colts 0, Castletown Camags 5. Castletown Cushags 0, Ramsey Ravens 1. Castletown Cosney against Vikings D, a late result. Mixed Division 3. Ramsey Rookies 1, Castletown Carrick 2. Harlequins C 2, Backers D 3. Harlequins D against Valkyries D, a late result. And Backers Mixed Books 8, Vikings E 0. Those are your classified results. But first, tonight we are going to begin with netball. Tomorrow, the Manx Rams national netball squad will be taking part in the international tournament in Asia. For the first time, the island team will contest in the 2025 Singlife National Cup in Singapore. which runs from tomorrow until next Saturday. Among the teams they'll face, it will be two squads from the home nations, as well as international teams of Malaysia and Papua New Guinea. Manx Rams co-captain Ashley Hall and Rachel Johnson spoke to Manx Radio ahead of their trip and about how much they're looking forward to the new test and what challenges Isle of Man Netball has undergone in the recent months.
Thank you both for joining us. Now, it's been a few months, actually, since we last caught up with you both. Ash, I'm going to come to you first. Obviously, a big event, big international event coming up for Isle of Man Netball in the next couple of weeks. For those who don't know, could you just explain what's coming up?
We are going to Singapore to compete in the Singlife Nations Cup. I think we've got about six matches, five ranking games. It should be good.
Rachel, there's been a lot of change, really, at Isle of Man Netball in the last few months since we last spoke with you as well. There's new people that have come in behind the scenes, into the likes of development roles and so on. How much have things changed, I guess, over the last few months since you were last involved in competitions?
Yeah, so I think the biggest change that we've had is we've got a head coach and assistant coach who are based in the UK, so they come over maybe once a month. So we've changed more to like a camp setup, so we're training on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday once a month. So I think that's been really good, actually, in terms of we get the team together and we can really work on things for a whole weekend. So that's probably been the biggest change. But we've also had a lot of new team players come in, and so it's been a really interesting time for Isle of Man Netball.
And Ash as well, going back to the Singlife Nations Cup as well, the other nations you'll be coming up against, how good a test do you think it'll be for the team as it stands at the moment?
Yeah, they're new teams. We haven't played them before, so we're really looking forward to having new opponents. But I think 1, 2, 3 are ranked higher than us in the world rankings. So it's going to be a challenge, but one that we're up for.
And just off that, Rachel, it's like, you know, it is a bit of an unknown that you're going into, like, say, teams that you've not played before. Is that almost refreshing in some way that it's you've not necessarily got anything to work on? You can just focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think for the last few years, we have played teams over and over again. And sometimes you kind of get into a rhythm of results, and then that creates pressure. Whereas this tournament, we've never played these teams before. It's probably going to be a very different style of netball that we'll be playing against as well. So it's just an opportunity for us to go no fear, underdogs, see what we can do.
And as someone who's been around the Manx Rams setup now for, you know, for a few years, has been a regular fixture, if you like, in the squad. You've both sort of alluded to it already. There's a couple of new additions that have been getting involved, whether it's, you know, training side or maybe actually going on the journey as well. How have the newer additions, if you like, to the squad bedded in with those of you with experience of these sort of events?
I think they bed in really well. We play with these girls at club. We play against them at other clubs. Although they're new to the squad, we know each other from netball on the island, so it works really well. But we're all learning new tactics all the time, so whether they're new or not, or whether we've got experience, we're all learning.
Rachel, just off that, with the idea of learning as well, like you said, you've got UK-based coaches. It's a different format in the way you're training and whatnot. How many different things have you all had to adapt to compared to what you had, say, previously?
Yeah, I think because it's been over a training weekend, you're kind of also dealing with tiredness that accumulates over the weekend as well, which is actually really good for when we do go to these tournaments, because we will be tired. Five matches in 6 days is a lot for us. So I think actually training under fatigue and putting things in place that we've been taught has actually been really useful for us.
And Ash, obviously the matches are just one part of it as well. It's a long old journey to be going on as well for a competition like this as well. For those of you who know what it's like to do, let's call it, you know, long distance travelling, just quite generally for these sort of events as well. For those who haven't gone through, what kind of advice can you give others who are doing this for the first time?
We've actually been given a lot of advice. We've done a lot of reading up on elite players travelling. There's lots of advice and articles about that exist. So we've all gone through this together. I don't think many of us have had this experience going so far to play a tournament. But we feel like we're prepared. We've got the compression socks ready. We've been given advice about nutrition on the plane and what to do when we get there, sleep-wise as well. So I don't think any of us are really worried about that. We're just focused on the netball.
In terms of the Nations Cup itself, I mean, what objectives, if any, have you set yourselves for this particular tournament?
I think for us, it's about just going out there and playing our game. You know, we have prepped over the last few camp weekends. We've also done research where we can on the teams. So we've looked at potential tactics we can put out against them, and it's just going out there and playing the Manx Rams way, really, and just playing with a bit of freedom.
Yeah, seeing how our style matches up against the other styles in the world, it's really exciting, actually. And we've got a few different things we can try. It's not we've got our style and we're sticking to it. We've got a few
tactics up our sleeve.
Yes. Yeah.
And just finally, looking ahead, not just the Nations Cup that's coming up, but maybe looking into the months ahead, what plans has the Manx Rams and Isle of Man Netball got? Is there any particular long-term objectives that everyone's looking for?
We've got a Manx A squad now as well. So we've got a long squad, we've got the Rams, we've got Manx A, and there's tournaments coming up for them and competitions coming up for them. There's a couple of big tournaments in the pipeline, but we're still it's not confirmed. We're still looking at player availability at the moment for those, but yeah, keep your eye out.
Manx Radio Sport.
And we wish them all the very best of luck. It's now 12 minutes past five and it's time to talk all things football. Let's bring in Tony Meppham. Good evening, Tony.
Evening. We can't see much out the window now, can we?
No, it's gone very dark.
We've gone backwards an hour, but there was sport played today. We got a fair bit on, which was good. Don't think you lost too many hockey games, so all round a good day in the office.
Absolutely. Let's start in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. Corinthians 5, Ayr United 1.
Yeah, what an interesting game this was. And thanks to Rob Pritchard for sending us a report, because there's a few twists and turns in the way this game went. But as you say, Corinthians 5, Ayr 1. Half time was only 1-0 to Corinthians. And really, that was down to, let's have a look here. We've got Corinthians scorers. Luke Murray got three, all penalties. Josh Ridings got one. Morgan Naylor got one. And also one of the penalties, or one of the goals, was disallowed, one from Dan Simpson. Dan Simpson created a lot of the goals today, but Ayr United scorer was Sean Kelly. But the headline was of a game which of total five penalties were awarded, four of which were converted. Two penalties were awarded in the first half, both to Corinthians. The first of those missed by Josh Ridings on 12 minutes before Luke Murray converted from the spot on the 39th minute. Both penalties given for handballs in the area. 7 minutes into the second half, Ayr were awarded a penalty, which when a Sean Kelly free kick was handled by Luke Murray, with Kelly scoring the resulting spot kick. Just before the hour mark, Ayr were reduced to 10 players when Liam Paget was sent off for a second bookable offence. A few minutes later, on 65 minutes, Corinthians went back in front when Dan Simpson on the left squared a pass to Josh Ridings, who tapped him from 6 yards out. 5 minutes after that, Corinthians had another when a Simpson cross from the left floated all the way to the right, where an unmarked Morgan Naylor hit a well-struck half volley into the bottom corner. In the 90th minute, the fifth penalty of the game was awarded. We still aren't sure what for, but a potential push in the Ayr United box, perhaps. Murray scored again to complete a hat-trick of penalties. Moments before the final whistle, Ayr then had captain Jamie Callister sent off for, we believe, dissent. A bizarre game at times, but it seems Corinthians stay undefeated and extend their lead at the top of the table.
And the next game we're going to talk about, and there's been some lovely photos sent in following the recent passing of a Ramsey player last weekend. Union Mills 4, Ramsey 4, a great game, but very emotional scenes before the game.
Yeah, it is, and that's what football's all about, because, now and then, things that upset teams, clubs, players and the sport can sort of bring the people together, and that's what's happened in this game today. Thanks to Paul Turner for the pictures, and we think we might have a match report in from Paul as well. We'll have a little look. Yes, we have, so we'll take Paul's information. But it did finish up 4-4. For the neutral, this was an end-to-end game from the start to finish, with Lewis Hicks testing Ramsey's goalkeeper on the third minute, only for Prince, who playing against his old club, to make a sublime save. But the Millers kept pushing, and on the 18th minute, they got their reward with Tyler Hughes crossing from the touchline for Jordan Crawley to slot at home. But Ramsey didn't let their heads drop and push for the equaliser. That came on the 27th minute, with Phil Dunnigan taking the corner and slice it over everyone to find Cameron Tor at the back post to give Ramsey that equaliser they were looking for in the 42nd minute. Ramsey thought they'd gone 2-1 up, only for the referee to disallow it for a push on Quilliam, so both sides went in at half-time, 1-1. Union Mills came back out a lot stronger and testing Ramsey from every angle, and then got their just rewards with Tyler Hughes giving Ramsey a masterclass on how to dribble past five players and the goalkeeper to knock it in. So once again, Ramsey started throwing everything back at Union Mills, and they were rewarded in the 73rd minute with a penalty. Up steps Tom Chettle to calmly slat it past in and send Quilliam the wrong way. And so both teams tried to get that winning goal again. And on 78 minutes, new signing Jack Murray broke the offside trap to leave Prince once again on the floor to put the Millers 3-2 up. With 2 minutes later, Ramsey draw level again with Ellie Ayres scoring from a well-worked corner. And both teams pushed, and yet again with Dominic McCarry-Brennan on the 84th minute, putting the Millers back in front. But once again, Ramsey didn't let their heads drop and went for the equaliser. Again, that came from another well-worked corner from Tom Chettle to get his second and give Ramsey a well-deserved point. Footnote, well done, Union Mills, for doing a guard of honour for Ramsey to come out on during the game, which is absolutely fantastic, and credit to everyone in what's been tough times for Ramsey and everyone who supports Ramsey, and everybody knows what's gone on. And our thoughts in Manx football go to everybody involved. Sad, sad times indeed.
Absolutely. Braddon 2, St Mary's 5.
Yeah, and I think certainly this one, a game goes down to two players. Mark Wolfenden with a couple of goals for St Mary's, and Joe Burquist got two as well. Therese Thompson, who's scoring plenty of goals this season, got the fifth one for St Mary's. But for Braddon, it was Eddie Twum who got one of the goals, and Nick Harvey, who's been scoring goals as well, got the second one for Braddon.
Foxdale against St John's was postponed. I'm guessing weather. That's down to the weather. Yep. Peel 2, Onken 0. This was the game you went to?
Yeah, went to. I enjoyed it, to be fair. Some people were critical of it, but I thought certainly in the first half there was good football. Both teams competed well. Both teams had chances. You've got to remember that sort of Onken were three or four of the real top players missing today. And, you know, you didn't notice much difference, to be fair, because the players that come in were absolutely tremendous. And it was 0-0 at half time. Just wondered, you know, maybe it might just be the odd one goal that would split it. But fair play to Peter Kenyuk and the management team at Peel. He changed it round a little bit. I think Thomas Brown was carrying an injury, maybe a hamstring. I know Jack Charmer in the warm-up had a problem, maybe a hamstring. So that could prove costly for Peel in the next few weeks. But certainly bringing on people like Daniel Bell, his experience and just know-how, and just get the best out of the teammates around him, made a big, big difference. Because a great ball through to Daniel Bell on the left-hand side, and he managed to just pull it back, tucked it into the box. And there was Taylor Andrews on 59 to score the goal, which just seemed to relax Peel a little bit. And then on 68 minutes they got their second of the game, similar sort of movement, Daniel Bell again a little bit towards the left hand side, and played it through to Lee Gale. And Lee Gale had quite a bit of work to do before it was going to be a goal, but he managed to just take a good touch with the right hand foot, the right foot on the round the keeper, round the left post of the keeper, and made it 2-0. Onken hit the bar with about 2 minutes to go. Belting kick. Sorry, I don't know the player, the number three, but he hit it really well and hit the bar. But Onken had chances, and if they'd finished them off, it could have been a lot closer. But I think Peel, I think, will show respect to Onken today, and I'm pretty certain they're sitting in the clubhouse at the moment saying, that is one good young side there in the makings. Peel have as well, there's no doubt about it, but there's still Matthew Woods in there and Daniel Bell with experience. But Onken haven't got that experience, and you wouldn't notice it, Ben. I thought it was a really good performance by them. I think now they're under a little bit of pressure to qualify for the Railway Cup. They've got Laxey to play, a couple of other games as well. But on the showing that they had today, they're up for it, and they certainly went for it towards the end, but they couldn't get anything back, and it was Peel who got the 3 points.
Douglas High School and Old Boys against Laxey. That was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Arden and Druggan Division 2. Malou against Paul Rose was cancelled because of a waterlogged pitch. So Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 4 against St George's 2. Who got 2?
Yeah, and I think it was all down to the first half performance. I think by Ramsey Youth Centre, They were 3-0 up at half-time. And this result certainly gives them a big lift because it moves them ahead of Paul Rose, who didn't play today. They've played the same games as Paul Rose now, so they're looking really good. One of the goals was an own goal. Ben Johnson got one. Declan Cowell got a goal. And Brody Culshaw as well, his first goal for the club. And well done to him. I'm sure there's going to be quite a few celebrations tonight in the Melia that Ramsey Youth Centre are having to raise funds. You know, St George's got it back to 3-2, so good efforts by them. They couldn't sort of hold out for a point, and Ramsey Youth Centre win the game 4-2.
Douglasson District 7, Governors Athletic 0.
Yeah, and D&D, it was Richie Radcliffe who equalised, actually, after Moran took the lead. Well done to Richie, and by all accounts, not a bad goal neither. Rounded the keeper, and that makes it 3-3 for him. So good performance, and just see if we can get something up for Moran. No, we haven't got no scorers come through just yet, but it was 2-1 at half-time, so it was tight. But in the second half, Moran with those 6 goals got the 3 points that they needed, and see if we can get the scorers.
And we are looking for the scores for our other game in this division we're just about to talk about. Douglas Royal, have you got that one?
Yeah, we have. It's Douglas Royal 7, Governors Athletic 3. Douglas Royal's goal scorers were Sam Griesley got one, Jacob Langton got a goal, Bailey Ashton, Kieran Lane got 2, and Josh Vaughan got 2 goals as well. So good result for Douglas Royal, haven't got Governors scorers.
Canada Life Combination 1, Goldfest in up north of the island. Air United 2, Corinthians 10.
Yeah, and it was a really good game by Corinthians. They are strong in this league. And when you look at those league tables, Ben, you can see now that they're putting a bit of pressure on Ramsey. They're putting pressure on Rushen. So it's good to see because Rushen played 9 for 20, Ramsey played 8 for 20, Corinthians now played 8 for 18. But the main culprits today with the goals, Adam McCulloch with 2, Ryan Nelson, what a player he's going to be with a couple of goals. Kane riding on the score sheet, Oscar Watterson with a hat-trick on 14, 62 and 85 minutes. Adwande Gamada got one on 73, Sam Corkle, who's home this weekend. He's one of the schoolboy contract people with Lincoln. Good performance all round for Corinthians winning 10-2. Haven't got air scorers.
Ramsey against Union Mills. That was postponed due to weather. St Mary's 3, Braddon 2.
Yeah, just go back to that Ramsey game if I can. Great effort to try and get that game on, Ben, because they left it right to the last minute, just before 12 o'clock, to call the game off. We've got a couple of other stories that have come out of today's sort of just prepping pitches and getting them playable. We'll come to one in the combination there too. But, you know, well done to everyone. Believe that they were on the pitch early trying to sort it out, but they just couldn't get it away in the end. But St Mary's against Braddon, not going to have any problems this on the artificial surface, are we? It was Chris Cowley got one, Kieran Presley got a goal, and Jamie Skillen as well. So it's 3-2 to St Mary's. Haven't got Braddon scorers.
St John's United against Foxdale. That was postponed due to the waterlogged pitch. Oncombe 3, Peel 2.
Yeah, good result for Oncombe because Peel have been flying high of late, and you know, Peel 5th this morning, Oncombe 7th. Well, now Oncombe go on to 16 points, Peel remain on 14, so move above them and St John's into 4th place. So good performance. Alfie Moore, 16 years of age, debut goal, so well done, Alfie. You'll remember that one. Tom Lancaster got one, and Luke Strickett-Morling was the other goal scorer for Oncombe. They were 3-1 up at half-time, so good second-half performance by Peel. But Toby Liddell on the score sheet again, he got one of the goals, and Aaron Castain scored from the penalty spot.
Always a memorable moment, isn't it, when you get your first goal at that age?
16, and he must be a good player, Alfie Moore, because Onken's combination is strong. And it's quite frightening what's going on with Onken at the moment, because when you look at the first team going well, you've got the combination going well, the under-18s are top of their league, and the under-16s are the top of their league, so there's good produce coming from Blackberry Lane, and well done to everyone involved.
Absolutely. Laxey 5, Douglas High School and All Boys 1.
Yeah, 2-1 at half-time to Laxey, obviously. Carl Clare got the goal for All Boys. We haven't got the Laxey's goal scorers.
Arden and Druggan combination 2. Jims against Castown. That was Castown 2, Jims 1.
Bit of a story on this one here. Referee I've told you this one already.
It's a
10 out of 10 job, this, isn't it?
Dedication.
Yeah, dedication. I got a phone call, what was it, about 10 past one to say that the referee had left his home and unfortunately his car had broken down. So we left, deserted the car and got a taxi down to Castletown from Laxey. Fair play to him. And then he got down, I think, what, 1 minute past two, but the club were warned that the referee was having a problem with his car, so they were ready for that. That's not a problem. It was Castletown's Aaron Field who got one of the goals, and Finn Mulligan got the second one. Haven't got Jim Scorers, but then we've got the referee there. How do we get him back? Well, fair play to Jason Hill. He got on the bus. He must have taken the bus from Castletown to Douglas and then Douglas. And when he's just texted us now, he's on the bus to Laxey. Absolute dedication. That's what we want to see. And fair play to him. And fair play to Castletown winning that game 2-1 after being 2-0 up at half-time.
Let's hope he gets his car sorted.
Yeah, you could have sorted him out anyway, couldn't you, with a free bus pass, couldn't you?
No, not today, not today. Paul Rose, United 7, Malou 1.
Yeah, Paul Rose keep the pressure on the top of the league and 4-0 up at half-time. It was David Harding on 59 minutes, James Clark 65, Rob Foster on 82 minutes, and it was all down to that 4-0 lead at half-time when James Clark got two of the goals, one on 4 minutes, one on 35. Jacob Thomas scored 11 minutes into the game, and it was Callum Dunn, I think it was, halfway through that first half, got a goal as well. So, you know, Paul Rose looking real favourites for this Combination 2 title.
St George's against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, that was postponed, I'm guessing. Is that down to the pitch?
Down to the pitch, yeah.
Absolutely. And the next game we're going to talk about, we have had a message through. Now, the score was Douglas Athletic 13. Douglas Athletic 13, Governors Athletic 0. Now, this message that we've had received here into the studio was, good evening all. You have probably heard this before, and I'm sorry for airing my frustrations, but the FA need to sort themselves out. To allow Douglas Athletic Football Club team to play in Combination 2 football is an absolute joke. I'm afraid I don't care what the excuses are. They are just using it. It is disgraceful.
Yeah, it's hard to take. It's, the FA need to sort themselves out. I'll defend myself there and I'll defend the FA as well. Is the clubs need to sort themselves out, because I asked at council meeting, which every club was there represented, to point the league management committee in which direction to go when a club puts a letter forward to the FA saying that they are really struggling and they need some help. And the clubs passed it back to the league management to say, if you feel, or if the club feels, that benefiting just with one team combination only, they should be allowed that request. And that's what we've done. So really, we've carried out the request from the clubs. What I will say now is, I think time has come where the rule needs to be changed, and that rule will be changed, or the proposal will go forward, and it's up to the clubs to make that decision. But I think now, I don't think it's right. If you can only enter one team, I'm afraid from what we've witnessed over the last 2 or 3 years from certain clubs, that we need to say, if you're going to enter one team only, it'll be a Division 2 or a Premiership side. We're there to help, but unfortunately, when you see some of the sort of things that are going on over the last couple of years, that's not good for football. It's frustration. I get a lot of correspondence from clubs who feel it's the wrong decision. Fine. I totally agree with you that we're in a tough place what to do, but we're there to help the clubs to stay in the league, but play in the right league, not in a league where you think you're going to dominate and win. And to see a team that's only got one team to win 13-0, that's not healthy for Manx football.
And we'll leave that one there. Maroun 9, Douglas and District 0.
Yeah, and haven't got Maroun scorers. I've tried to get them. But, you know, well done to Maroun. Now, here's the story and a half of the pitch. You're not a farmer, but they had tractors down pumping water off the pitch. Because
I think I saw someone on social media about this.
Big pool at the bottom. And David Brew was telling me, he was the manager of the first team, and the amount of gallons that they had to pump off and into a tank. And then the tank, they went and emptied it I take it in the river or whatever. And then they came back for more. They forked it. They did everything they could. They've been there since 8 o'clock this morning working on that pitch. So credit to them to get a game of football on. And also credit to Douglas and District for knowing what has gone on to try and get this pitch or got the pitch playable. And they appreciate everything that was done. But yeah, well done to Moran. That's the stories that you want to hear is, you know, trying their best to try and get a game of football on. And if the pitch is not playable, then it's not playable. There's no point in cutting them up this early stage of the season, but they've surpassed what was expected and credit to them.
There's some dedication going on today in Manx football. A referee getting the bus.
Yeah.
Now they're getting tanks to clear the pitch.
Yep.
What next?
That's our sport. We're not like you guys where you can play on these 3G pitches and make it easy for you.
All right, just because you're on the other side of the desk. All right, all right. And then the final game, what a game to finish on. Michael United 5, Douglas Royal 4.
Yeah, absolute humdinger this one. And for Douglas Royal, the goal scorers, Connor Dempsey, Kyle Clark, Wes Gibson and an own goal. Thanks to Kev Ballard for getting the scorers through to us. But for Michael, that's a super result for them because... you know, when you look at that combination two league table, we'll forget the top, but we'll look at the bottom. You know, you look at Michael down there, that puts them on 9 points now. And, you know, they're working so hard, you know, to keep this together and, you know, get two teams hopefully together next year. But Jimmy Butler, he got two of the goals. Bobby Baxter got two. And Nathan Farragut was who got the other goal for them. Well done to Michael.
Absolutely, Tony. For now, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport.
27 minutes to six. We're going to head on down to the bowl and join Rob Pritchard, and he has team news for ahead of FC Alamance game. A very good evening, Rob Pritchard. Now, Rob, before you start, have you got your Halloween costume on?
Do you know, I have to make a confession, Ben. No, I don't. I think I'd probably be outclassed by other people here this evening, if I'm honest.
Tony says you don't need a mask.
This is very true. I do have a face for radio. Why do you think I'm in this business, Ben?
Absolutely. You've got team news for us, Rob.
Yes, I have indeed. Yes, welcome to the bowl for the first time this evening ahead of this NWCFL Premier Division match between FC Alamance and Longridge Town. Kick-off coming up in just over 25 minutes' time at 6 p.m. Team news to bring you. We'll start with FC Isle of Man. They make five changes from the side that got that 2-1 victory away at City of Liverpool last weekend. Dropping out this time around are Steve Whitley, Danny Gerrard, Leo Tregurtha, Lucas Watson and Ben Wilkinson. Coming in are Carl Clark, Callum Sherry, Jean Marquez, Alex Maitland and Harry Best. All of those additions to the squad this week will start from the bench. For Longridge Town, there are just three changes there. Carson Greaves, Charlie Markland and Mason McKay, who were part of the squad that were involved in that 5-1 victory over Earlham last time out. They're not involved. Coming in are Jack Anderton, Mitchell Marshall and Benjamin Fletcher, with Jack Anderton coming straight into the starting 11. The starting 11 for FC Isle of Man is as follows. In goal is Mark Blair, and then it's Kyle Watson, Josh Kane, Sam Baines, Captain Michael Williams, Sam Gelling, Luke Booth, Dean Pinnington, Adam Adebayi, Joe Middleton and Charlie Higgins. Substitutes for FC Isle of Man are Carl Clark, Callum Sherry, Jean Marquez, Alex Maitland and Harry Best. For Longridge Town, in goal is Kai Crow, and then it's Leighton Hewitt, the captain Ryan McLean, Maddox Banks, Ben Trafford, Connor High, Josh Ash, Matthew Van Wyk, William Proctor, Jack Anderton and Luke Smith. Substitutes for Longridge Town are Ethan Edmondson, Mitchell Marshall, Benjamin Fletcher, Thomas McCann and Jordan Dainty. Your referee this evening is Ewan Patrick and his assistants are James Cherry and Stuart Morris. Well, for both these sides, they both come into this contest at the bowl on respective three-match unbeaten runs. Those three undefeated for FC Isle of Man is the first they've managed this season to go three without loss in all competitions with two wins and a draw. They'll be hoping to build on that recent uplift in form under caretaker manager Rick Holden as they sit just hovering 3 points above the relegation zone at the start of this weekend. They could, of course, move themselves away even further and, depending on results elsewhere, if they were able to claim maximum points on home soil this evening. That's something they'll be wanting to do in the long run as well. They've only managed 1-6 on home turf so far this season. For Longridge Town, as I mentioned, for them, also three unbeaten in all competitions, including back-to-back victories in their last two. The most recent of those, a very impressive 5-1 win at promotion against promotion challengers Earlham 7 days ago. And for Longridge Town as well, even though FC Isle of Man have won four of the six meetings so far between these sides, Longridge Town have a good record here on Manx shores. In fact, they've won two of their three visits to the bowl so far. So FC Isle of Man looking to push for more security. Longridge Town, who start the day 11th strengthen the table, hoping to make more inroads into the top half of the standings. FC Alaman versus Longridge Town kickoff at 6 p.m. We'll have you covered here on Manx Radio. Full live match commentary from just before 6 o'clock on Manx Radio AM 1368.
Rob, thank you very much. You keep warm and we'll catch up with you after 6 o'clock.
Manx Radio Sport.
24 minutes to 6 and we're going to talk things rugby now, and we're going to bring in Dave Christian. And Dave, you join us from across the Irish Sea there. Just the one game in the Cheshire Bowl semi-final, Ramsey 43, Southern Nomads 26.
Yeah, indeed, Ben. And it was a semi-final, which means Ramsey are through to the final of the Cheshire Bowl. It's going to be the second final on the bounce. They got through to last year's final, lost to New Brighton. The other semi, I haven't got a result for that yet. It was New Brighton against Hoylake. New Brighton will be the overwhelming favourites going into that. So it looks probably like we're going to have an end of season rematch with Ramsey and New Brighton. Ramsey today, Ben Hartman, the hooker, leading the way with two tries. There was also a try for Jake Seavers on his comeback game. Standoff Tom Moffat got a try, Connor Cracknell got a try, and the captain Josh Cateen also in with a try. And Tom Moffat kicking four conversions out of those seven for the 43 points. For Southern Nomads, a disappointment for them. I thought their team looked a little bit stronger on paper, but hey, what do I know? But four tries for Nomads today. Clayton Matthews was in with one. Martin Thompson in for one. Now, Martin was a regular scorer for Nomads back in the day, but moved across to Wigan. He's back on the island for a weekend, made a guest appearance and picked up a try. So well done to Tomo. Also try for the captain, Finn McGregor, and one for Connor Stevens, who I've seen play for Douglas, Western Vikings and Southern Nomads in the last month. So he's putting himself about a bit. Three conversions for Nomads from Zach Hand, but disappointment for them. They perhaps could and should have done a little bit better. But hey-ho, onwards and upwards for Ramsey, through to the Cheshire Bowl final.
And do we have a date for the final yet, or is that a bit early to ask for?
It's a bit early to ask for because there are four competitions running. There's the Cheshire Cup, the Cheshire Plate, the Cheshire Bowl and the Cheshire Vase. And I think Cheshire RFU are trying to link all four together to try and have a finals day on a date yet to be fixed. But probably the early May bank holiday is looking like a favourite for me. But you never know how these things pan out. They put Ramsey and Southern Nomads, who both made finals last year. Nomads in the Vase, Ramsey in the Bowl. They played those games back to back at Chester Rugby Club, which was a big day out for the Isle of Man. There was coach loads of supporters over there. So that was a good day. But as yet, nothing from Cheshire RFU. And in fact, obviously, I don't know who's in the who's come through from the other semi yet either. But that'll all unravel itself over the weekend and we'll get a date for the final as soon as we can.
Absolutely. And Dave, looking ahead to next week, we got a full list of fixtures ahead of next week.
Yeah, Douglas have a big home game against Vale of Lune. That's third against fourth in the table in Regional 2 Northwest. And, of course, Douglas have a game in hand as well, which could see them go as high as second. But Vale of Lune will be a tough ask for them. Ramsey are away at Fleetwood, off the top of my head. I think Vagabonds ladies have a home fixture and Vagabonds men will be away as well. There may even be a fixture in the Hartford Homes Bank Shield, but that's too much for my tiny brain to remember at this point in time.
Fair enough. Dave, we'll let you get gone on the rest of your trip. Have a good trip and we'll catch you next week. Dave Christian.
Manx Radio Sport.
And at 20 to 6, bang on the dot, we are going to look at everything that's took place in the Manx Hockey Leagues. And let's start in the Mixed Premier League, where the two big rivals, Backers A against Vikings A, met today at the NSC in the early pushback at 12:35. Backers A coming away with a 6-1 win in this game. The consolation goal for Vikings was Andy Harding, and then Backers goal scorers was Elliot Reid with one, Jamie Brown with two, Shea Christians with two, Tony Bentley Roberts with one, and Emma Courty with one, keeping Backers A unbeaten run still going. In the 2 o'clock game at the NSC, Harlequins A got the better of Backers B by 2-1. Ronan Santanatolia with 2 goals and Johnny Callow on the score sheet for Backers B, giving Harlequins that narrow 2-1 win over Backers B. In Castletown at 2 o'clock, there was the Southern Derby between Castletown Celts and Castletown Southerners. Castletown Celts, the higher team, coming out on top. 9-1 winners here. George Powell with 3 goals. Robbie Villerga with 3 goals. Sarah Farragher with 1. Amy Sellers with 1. And Tom Burrows with 1 for Celts. With Ned McGregor getting the goal for Castletown Southerners. And we have been asked to mention it was a very, very emotional game for the Martin Partridge, who was playing his final game before he moves back across. We wish him all the best with his move. Valkyries A3, Vikings B2 was at QE2 at 2 o'clock. Thomas Titos, Oscar Lace and Imogen Cook all on the score sheet for Valkyries A, with Josh Knighting getting the both goals for Vikings B. In Mixed Division 1, a really close game in the early fixture in this league at QE2 at 11.05 between Valkyries C and Harlequins B. Valkyries C 3, Harlequins B 4. Chris Thomas with 2 and Amy Speeds with 1. And the Harlequins goal scorers were Tom Hurd with 2, Caleb Blakemore with 1 and Sam Clegg with 1. In the other fixtures in this league, which took place at 12.35 at Ramsey Grammar School, Valkyries B, top of the league, knew they had to go and get a victory to keep that spot on the top of the league this weekend. And they've been held to a 2-2 draw by Ramsey A. Ollie Webster and Kieran Gale for Valkyries B, with Jordan Parkinson with both goals for Ramsey A. Meaning, if Backers C could get a win this weekend, they could go back top of the league. And that's what they have done in emphatic style, winning 12-0 over Vikings C. Will Wiseman with 6 goals. Nick Wilson with 2. Alex Stewart with 2. Abs Maddox with 1. And Craig Lees with 1. Giving Backers C that win, which puts them back top of the league in Division 1. In Mixed Division 2, the early fixture was between Backers Colts and top of the league Castletown Camags, who remain top of the league following their 5-0 win over Backers Colts this morning. Alistair Ledgers with 1, Rich Tarr with 1 and Fern Bagazzi with 3. And I know Fern might be listening tonight, and Fern, I can confirm you now are the top goal scorer in this league. The other game, which I covered for Paul Moran on Saturday Live, was a very close one between Castletown Cushags and Ramsey Ravens. Ramsey Ravens taking the victory in the second half, 1-0 thanks to a Sarah Bull goal. It was a very, very end-to-end game. It could have gone either way, but against the run of play, Ramsey Ravens found the back of the net to give them a very crucial league, making things at the bottom of this league very, very, very interesting. Castletown Cosney 1, Vikings D 6. Vikings D goal scorers were Bruce Gimbert with 3, Chris Hyden with 2 and Becky O'Brien with 1. And the consolation for Cosney was from Jeff Butler. But a commanding victory for Vikings D, meaning that when they meet Castletown Camags, there is only 1 point between them. And I think, off the top of my head, I think Camags play Vikings D either this week, next week coming, or the week after. So we'll keep a very close eye on that game for sure. In Mixed Division 3, Ramsey Rookies 1, Castletown Carrick 2. Sylvia Lincoln for Ramsey Rookies, and then for Castletown Carrick, Aileen McCubbin, Christopher Crompton Harvey on the score sheet for Castletown Carrick. A great win for Castletown Carrick. For Ramsey, though, very close, but just not quite there on the day. But one from both captains, this game was played in very good spirit and a really good end-to-end game, which is great to hear. 3.35, Harlequin C took on Backers D. And again, another very close game here. Backers D just edging it here by 3-2. Christian Davies with 2 and Kyle Bennion for Backers D, with Killian Sharkey on the score sheet for Harlequin C getting both goals there. We look at the remaining fixtures in this league. Backers Mixbox 8, Vikings E 0, Ryan Cartwright with 4, Cal Joyce with 3 and Kian Berry with 1, giving Backers Mixbox a great win there and keeping them in a very good position to be battling at the top of the league. And then the final fixture in this league was between Harlequins D and Valkyries D, and that was a 4-1 win to Valkyries D. Your goal scorers for Valkyries D were Johnny Kane with 2, Michelle Poyser with 1, and Mark Perryman with 1, and the goal for Harlequins D was Sophie Knighton. Now, of course, all games today in Manx hockey paid their respects by doing a 1 minute silence for Mike Madrill. Mike Madrill was a big man in many ways, both on and off the field for Manx hockey. And unfortunately, we got the sad news that he passed away recently this week. And our thoughts are with both his family, his friends at this very sad time. And as we say, we have shown our respect today in Manx hockey by giving every game a 1 minute silence as a mark of respect and dedication to all the hard work that he did both on and off the pitch for Manx hockey.
Manx Radio Sport.
And that just about concludes Classifieds here on Manx Radio AM. But as always, we're going to leave you with the headlines. Canada Live Premier League wins for Corinthians, St Mary's, Peel and Union Mills, and Ramsey playing an 8-goal thriller out, ending 4-4. In Arden and Drugan Division 1, wins for Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, Douglas and District and Douglas Royal. Canada Life Combination 1 wins for Corinthians, St Mary's, Onken and Laxey. Arden and Drugan Combination 2 wins for Castletown, Paul Rose, Douglas Athletic, Maroun and Michael United, just edging things over Douglas and Royal. They win by 5-4. In rugby, in the Cheshire Bowl, Ramsey are heading to the final. They win by 43-26 over Southern Nomads. In hockey, Mixed Premier League, Backers A continue their winning streak with a 6-1 win over Vikings A. Harlequins get the better of Backers B. Castletown Celts beat their second team, Castletown Southerners. And Valkyries A get the better of Vikings B by 3-2. Mixed Division 1, Harlequins just get the edge over Valkyries C by 4-3. Backers C get 12 past Vikings C, and Valkyries B and Ramsey A couldn't be separated, a 2-2 draw. Mixed Division 2, Camags keep their winning streak going. They stay top of the league thanks to a 5-0 win over Backers Mixed Colts. Ramsey Ravens get their first win of the season, and Vikings D keep the pressure on Camags at the top of the league with a 6-1 win over Cosney. Mixed Division 3, Castletown Carrick get the better of Rookies by 2-1. Bacchus D just edge it over Harlequin C. Bacchus Mixed Books get 8 past Vikings E. And Valk ISD stay top thanks to a 4-1 win over Harlequin D. And that just about concludes here things on Classified and Full Time. Thank you as always for your company.